And that is the sugya of davar velo chatzi davar, right? Okay, so how does davar velo chatzi davar come up from our Mishnah?
Because what is witnesses on me, but what's a witnesses on the shkita or selling?
Yeah, so this is going to start a trend for the next few dapim in the Gemara, where you read a Mishnah and the Mishnah seems to be completely self-evident and make a lot of sense, and then you hit the Gemara, and the Gemara kind of exposes that there are basic principles being assumed here that we may have overlooked. Right, so the Mishnah just told us that if two people see you steal, and two people see you shecht, then they can combine, right, and then you'll have to pay dalid b'hei. Right, which seems to make sense, but then we know the Gemara is going to attack that. We might as well let's just go through the Mishnah just to get on the table all the stuff that's gonna come up, because this Mishnah is going to be under discussion for a little bit, so we should just have the Mishnah down and then we move on to the Gemara. So does anyone want to?
So now, if you stole something and then sold it on Shabbos, mm-hmm. or you stole it to Avodah Zarah, or you stole and then you shechted it on Yom Kippur, or you stole from your father and shechted it and sold it, and afterwards the father died, and then if you stole it and shechted it and then you were Mekadesh it, you have to pay Arbat HaMisha.
Yeah. So let's explain these. Right. What are the havaminas? Like, why on earth wouldn't you be chayav in any of these cases?
Because you
would
be killed.
Right. So for some of them, you have the potential.
Kibbutz
Ramine, right? And that's what the Mishnah is. You know, let's finish the Mishnah. Yeah, let's finish the Mishnah, and then we'll recap it. I'm sorry. Okay. Right. So now we can just take them one by one. So Ganav Machar B'Shabbos, right? So in that case, you're Pater, but what's going to be the analogous case where you're Chayim? If you stole it and sold it on Shabbos, you'll be chayav dalvehe. But if I sold it and I shechted it on Shabbos, right, then I'll be pater dalvehe because of kimle bedramin, right? Ganavu machar lavodah zarah, right? If I sold it to Jupiter, I'm pater. But if I slaughtered it to Jupiter, right, then that's avodah zarah, and then kimle bedramin, eh? What about Yom Kippur? Gana v'tavach Yom Kippurim. So why am I chayav dal dehei if I shechted?
Because you're chayav kari.
Exactly. And Kim Le'Ramine does not apply to kari. So it only applies to Misa. And then what about the case of if you stole from your father and then shechted it and then sold it and then the father dies? So
that case where he died before you shechted it.
Right, exactly. Right, so the right. So the next, that's going to be the next Mishnah, right? If the father is alive at the time of the slaughter or the sale, so then it's just a regular case, right? You're stealing something that belongs to someone else and shechting it, and then you're chayav dal b'hei. But if the father dies in the interim, so then what happens to his estate? It goes to all the yorshim, right? Mm-hmm. So the next Mishnah is going to tell us, right, that. You have to shecht something which is completely not yours in order for you to be chayav dal b'hei. So if there are, you know, 10 brothers, and this guy has a 10% stake in the estate, and then he's shechting a cow that he stole, but he has a 10% stake in it, so that's going to pater him from dal b'hei. So that's why it's specifically in the case where the father is still alive. And then what about the case of ganav v'tavach v'acharkach hikdish? So if you stole it and slaughtered it, and then you gave it to Hekdesh, so then you're chayav dal v'hei. right? So that makes a lot of sense. Why on earth not, right? I sold it, I slaughtered it. That's Dal V'Heh. I want to give the stake to the Beis HaMikdash. I can do that, but why should that affect Dal V'Heh? But the analogous case is going to be where I make it hektish, and then I shacht it, right? And if I make it hektish and then I shacht it, then I'm going to be pater. And what one of the questions we'll have to figure out when we get to that is, why not be chayav Dal V'Heh for giving it to hektish? Shouldn't that be considered a sale, right? Shouldn't that be considered a sale when I give it to hektish? So we'll hopefully get to that. We may have to skip, but we should get to that. Okay, and then what about these last few cases? Ganav v'tavach l'refua o l'kalavim. So I slaughtered it for medicinal or dog food purposes. So I'm chayav. Why would I be pater?
May have thought because it's not for normal eating purposes.
But it's not actually shechita.
Right. Maybe it has to be shechita, which is with intent to eat. So apparently that's not the case. As long as you do a maisa shechita, that's going to be valid.
It's a kosher shechita, though, right?
Yeah, 100%, right? You do not need kavana. You do not need kavana for shechita. There's a difference between shechitas kachim and shechitas chulin regarding this, but you don't need to have in mind I'm going to eat the steak when I shech the animal. What about shochet penimtei shtreifa?
According to this person, it's the use of pay. According to the next one, you won't pay. But you find out shtreifa because now it's not roi l'chila.
Right, it would seem like the same reasoning as the other two.
Right, so the question with these is going to be, right here, it's not just that I didn't have intent for it to be food, it's that I'm not actually allowed to eat this, right? So this will be the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama, whether shchita she'ena re'uya, right, if I have a shchita which is not fit for consumption at all, then is that considered a shchita or not, right? So the Chacham say yes, and therefore you're going to pay Dal V'Heh. And Rishon says, no, right, it has to be if it's not an edible shechita, it's not a valid shechita. Okay, so now we come back to our first case, right, that if two witnesses says he stole and two witnesses says he slaughtered, then he has to pay a Dal V'Heh. And that should be obvious, right, but the Gemara tells us it's not obvious because who disagrees with this principle, apparently? Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva say? Yeah, where does he get that from? Right, Alfi Shnayim Edim, right, Ashayim Yakum Davar, right, Davar below, Chatzi Davar. So how do you translate into English?
The matter. On the word.
The full statement.
On the word of two witnesses, shall the matter be established?
Okay, and then Rabbi Akiva's halacha?
Matter, not half a matter.
Matter, not half a matter, okay. So witnesses have to testify to full matter, not half a matter. And apparently, Geneva would be considered half a matter for the purposes of making him pay Dalid V'Heh. So Rabbi Akiva needs a pasuk for this, right? Straight common sense, would you have signed up for this or not? Right, Svar Pshuta. Yeah, I didn't have any pasuk, I didn't have any drasha. You know, just ask, do we think that, you know, witnesses should be able to combine forces to get to full testimony or not?
Good question. I would think on how they're testifying. It's like witnesses are coming and saying, I'm testifying that this was a stolen animal that he shafted, but they don't have proof that it was a stolen animal. They're going to someone else's testimony. That's not very helpful. Mm-hmm. However, they would just come and testify that this person shafted this animal.
Why do we need witnesses to come to Beis Din?
To verify what happened. Yeah, right. I think they should, through common sense, be allowed to combine. That's how it works in our court system.
For sure, right? The purpose of witnesses, we'll say, is to bring information to the court. So if I get the information, then, you know, why shouldn't I be able to combine the two sets of testimony? Right?
The whole like diachronic synchronic feel-up that we have later, I don't know if I would have thought of that on my own, but like that is one thing.
What do you mean?
Like throughout time versus at the same time, like combining testimony.
Oh, in the Rishonim, you're saying.
Yeah.
So okay.
So like that. I'm still thinking about that now in the question of like combining testimony from like two different actions versus flying past somebody for one action.
Are there any cases where you would have thought Svara Pshuta, we should reject Chatzi Davar?
I mean, like, this is... Like, based off of, like, other cases in Sanhedrin about, like, witnesses denying testimony, like, at one in the same situation, yes. But, like, is that not...
Svara yeah, let's pretend, let's pretend we learned, I don't know, Sukkah last year. So, or some other non-Nizik in Masachla.
Let's just say no.
Let's say no. Okay, fine. So, let's, look, for now, let's take as the operating principle that Davar Lachatzi Davar is exclusively a Chiddush HaTorah. And then Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, at least, you know, the early stages of the Gemara, are just arguing whether or not we accept this or not. If you had to throw out like an early svara, like why would you reject Chatzi Davar, right, given the fact that it's not common sense? But once we have it on the record, like why would the Torah reject it?
Because within itself, it has no value.
Okay, so what does that tell me about?
I mean, it's a Gatus? Question of is Gatus combined? Is it mistarish? If
yeah.
you just say it's not mistarish, then what's a Chatzi Davar? It's nothing.
So apparently Aedus is more than just pure information to get in the court record, right? There has to be, you know, there's a concept of Aedus, and Aedus has to meet certain qualifications in order to be accepted as such, right? So it's more than just us finding out the facts through these people. It's, in order for them to be considered Aedim, or for them to be saying to be considered Aedus, it has to, you know, advance the case, it has to meet in certain benchmarks. Then once we're going to say that, right, so now we can, you know, potential debate over what exactly those benchmarks are going to be that you have to hit in order to be considered Aedus. In which case, this Gemara is going to be like a pretty significant sugya for understanding how we define the concept of Aedus in general, right? What exactly is going on here? Okay, so Rabbi Akiva first says, right, so first the Gemara argues that our Mishnah is against Rabbi Akiva. What's the case where Rabbi Akiva applied? Oh, it keeps going. Okay, great. Right, so what's the. So.
Chazak
on the field. So Cheska Shalashanim, right, in order to the Chazak Yomi is doing right now, in order to establish that I have rights to the field despite the fact that I have no star. Right, I need to sit there undisturbed for 3 years. So witnesses come, and they say he was there for a year. And then another set of witnesses come and say he was there for another year. And then a third set of witnesses come and say he was there for a third year. Right, so Rabbi Akiva, in that case, applies Davar L'Chatzi Davar and says that since the witnesses only applied to 1 year and Chazakah requires three, that's considered Chatzi Davar. Right? And so the argument the Gemara has is that so too Geneva and Mechira should be two separate Eduyos. Okay, how does the Gemara reject that? Or contest that at least?
Because in the case with the woman, he does not apply this concept, even though it seems like an analogous situation.
Right. What's the case of the woman? Yeah, there's a machlokas, but the way we have it in the Gemara, or the way Rashi has it in the Gemara.
She gets married and then she's found with another man.
Right. So I have two sets of witnesses to the wedding, and I have two sets of witnesses to the biasnus, right? I need both sets of information in order to convict a couple of adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And presumably, right, Rabbi Akiva thinks that it is possible to convict couples of adultery without having the original Eidei Kiddushin there for znus, right? That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Other Rishonim explain the Gemara. They're not talking about Kiddushin and Znus, but that we're talking about Kiddushin and Nisuin, right? Because they think that's more comparable. It's an interesting question. Which one is more comparable to Geneva and Mechira, right? Do I look at this as like two separate but, you know, technically related events, or do I look at this as like a timeline, right? And it's all part of one Marechet, like Geneva and you know, we talked in the beginning of the year about, you know, Tvicha Mechira being the continuation, right, the next step in the Geneva, especially if you're adopting that approach, then insisting that what happens here is Kiddushin and Nisuin makes a lot of sense. Right, so there you clearly have a case where I do involve different different edim, right? And how does the Gemara explain the difference between Cheska Shalashanim and Kiddushin slash whatever else?
Because the testimonies don't equally depend on each other in the same way that Kiddushin is different than the situation of a Chesed.
Right, because right the first testimony stands on its own.
Yeah.
Right. So Rikiva's mm-hmm. only going to ruin Chasi Davar when it's Chasi Davar plus Chasi Davar. But if I have Davar plus Chasi Davar, then it's going to be good. Right? Why? Anyway, why?
Just
throw out a suggestion. What's the difference between Chatzi Davar plus Chatzi Davar versus Davar plus Chatzi Davar? At the end of the day, the second Davar is a Chatzi Davar, so why should that be accepted?
Is Chatzi Davar, neither of the edoses are established for themselves. There's nothing really truly supporting either one of them.
So Eidei Znus, right? Let's take that case. It's a little bit easier. So a guy sees a couple having relations. In and of itself, right, that has no consequence. It only has consequence given previous information that this woman is married.
Yeah.
So that seems like a Chatzi Davar. In fact, the Gemara said it was a Chatzi Davar. So why, just because the Kiddushin stands independently, why should that affect the subsequent Edus? Like, how does the answer the question?
Was that your question? There was by Chatzi versus Chasi versus...
Rabbi Akiva rejects Chatzi Davar.
But he accepts one and a half.
Yeah, but he accepts one and a half.
And then the Gemara says, well, everyone knows Rabbi Akiva is okay when you have... right, but why? What's the difference?
If Rabbi Akiva says
that a Chatzi Davar is not defined as Edus, if you want to be Edus, you have to be a Davar. You have to be a, you know, whatever Rabbi Akiva defines Davar as, right? An independent, consequential testimony. So the Edus on the B.S. Nus is a Chatzi Davar, isn't it?
Yes, but the Eidos on the original is a Davar.
So what?
So since the first one doesn't have to gain halakhic status from the second one, uh-huh. the second one is not at all testifying on the first one, and it really could just be viewed as testifying on an action of two people having relations. Therefore, it doesn't.
But I need it to be. All. I need it to be a testimony on two married people having relations.
You need to be a testimony of two married people having relations.
In order for it to
be. Right?
No, you have to have it on two people having relations. Now, the fact that we know that they're married.
Who cares? Yeah. Okay, this isn't like page 6 New York Post. What do I care that people are having relations?
Hmm?
What do I care that two people are having relations?
Well, you don't care if two people, but if it happens to be that it's established that they're married.
Uh huh.
That's a different situation. Now, those edim can't come and test that they're also married, unless it's already established that they're married.
Okay, so I,
it's how you're viewing their what they're coming to testify on.
So tell me if this is maybe this is what you're saying, maybe not. But that once the first set of edim comes and we have that independent davar on record, so then that becomes like common. That's officially on the record now, right? Like, these are the facts. It is now given that it's a married couple. And what that does is that what would have been a Chatzi Davar by itself, right, is not anymore, because these people are now, it's now, they're seeing married people having relations. Right? So the Davar changes, the first Davar changes, right?
Changes
reality
the
halacha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why wouldn't that?
Of course, the chassid would actually be a davar.
Why wouldn't
exactly.
that apply to the field, though? Like, once you have Aizim come who say, these people were eating on that field last year, if we apply this common knowledge logic, then that becomes, that's on the record, that's common knowledge. So the next aging, when they come and they're they say that they were eating on it in the second year,
so could
rest on the
so, and that's going to be exactly what we're that's exactly where the riff is going to get to. Is the riff is exactly going to break down that distinction. So why would you argue with the riff? Because you'll say,
because it doesn't stand on its, it doesn't actually do,
yeah, anything. does 1 year of testimony really stand on its own?
Like 1 year of testimony doesn't establish anything legit, whereas like kedushin is kedushin.
Right. Exactly. Right? We're not going to bingo, exactly. Okay? So that's Rabbi Akiva. And then the question is, what's the position of the Chachamim? Right? The Chachamim ask, what did the Chacham do with Davar v'lechatzi Davar? And what case do they apply it to?
This, yeah.
What case did the Rabbanim apply Davar v'lechatzi Davar to?
The case of Kedush
Shesara. Shesara, exactly. Right, what's the...
whether Eagle is matured or not.
Right.
Yeah, two different, yeah.
Go for it.
You go for it.
Okay.
Okay. You have two different sets of witnesses. One says it was on the front, one says it was on the back, but they both say that she's a
Kohanim. So, what's the exact test token of the Your Honor, we hereby testify that this girl has
one hair
on her front.
Then the fact comes as we testify she has a hair on the back.
On the back. Apparently we're dealing with very lazy witnesses.
No, who says... Tosfos says they actually... with 2 different days. Someone says that.
Yeah.
Someone says it was 2 different days and they actually did look all around and they all get out.
That would be like obviously.
It would be.
Okay. Anyway. Anyway, right, the Rabbanan say that in such a case where one set of witnesses testifies to one hair in the front and one set of witnesses testifies to one hair in the back, we can't combine them and say we have two hairs and she's a gedola. We'll still consider her a katana. And so then that raises the obvious question all the Rishonim have to get into, and that's what we'll talk about today, which is, what is the difference for the Rabbanan between the case of Echa Begaba v'Echa Bekresa versus the Chazaka case, right? Because Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan disagreed with the Chazaka case. Rabbi Akiva said that it doesn't work, and the Rabbanan said that it does. So I don't understand. Why are you combining eduyos for shnei chazaka and you're not combining eduyos for shtei sairos? Okay. So what do we have? So we have basically... there are basically 4 approaches in Rishonim to explain this. Well, it's kind of like 3 and 1. What?
I want notes from the returning that she
had. Oh, okay, good. You can wait for a second if you want to.
I emailed
with
you, I think.
Yeah,
no,
you
do. Yeah, it's your Gmail.
Okay, so let's start off by looking at let's look at Tosos first, because they're the most explicit. And we can leave off the second half for now. But let's look at the first half inside. Right, Tosos the Rasko Lemiyute. So they are. They don't even have to ask. Like, the question is so obvious, they don't even have to ask it. Right? They can skip the question and go straight to the answer. Right? Lo Dami, right? It's not similar to the Chazaka case.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone want to take it?
Sure. We'll
take the 2 answers separately.
From the beginning?
And from the beginning. Yeah, we'll do the 2 answers separately. We'll treat them one by one.
The case from the beginning of the Gemara about the field.
So what's the distinction?
In what they actually saw in the case of Sweden, they theoretically seen both sides, but they didn't. Here, they took a total view of what happened during that year, and that's what they're being. That's what they're testifying on.
Right. In one case, they saw everything that they could have seen, right? Given that we were here during 2014 and not here during 2015, so all we could have seen is 1 year of Chazaka, as opposed to the case of the woman with the Shtei Sairos, if they had just, right, walked around, they would have seen hair number 2. Okay, so why does that make a difference?
So you hear the word, I guess, They see the entire picture. Then they could be seeing, in which case it's Dabar, or they see a Chazi Dabar, only part of the picture. And they're blind, someone to see the other part of the picture and they combine with that person.
So then
it's a current picture. It's the, I guess, the time thing. It's like what they're seeing now.
So then the flaw in Chazi Dabar is what exactly?
Chazi Dabar is that you did not see everything you could have seen at that time.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
So then we're not going to define Dabar as relating to legal consequence or any, you know, we have to have a certain impact or anything of what your statement is. If you want to be a chalos edus, then you have to have a full picture of what it is that you could have, of what it is that you could have seen, right? And edus, which is not, right, complete edus is defined by potential. Okay. There's another way you could explain this expression Tosos. That's the way that the Ramban explains it in the Baal HaMar, and it's the way he explains it sets up his kasha, which is going back to the original question of is Davar v'lochatzi Davar a Svara or is Davar v'lochatzi Davar a Chiddush? I mean, it's a Svara, but like, is it a common sense Svara? Is it one that we need help for? So the Baal HaMar, according to the Ramban, the way to explain this answer in Tosos and the Baal HaMar is that there's a chash shakar now. Right, there's something suspicious. The fact that you have not seen everything you could have seen, right, that you could have easily walked around to the other side and done your due diligence, the fact that you're lazy, non-due diligence doing Edim, demonstrates to us that you are not to be relied upon. If you're taking your job seriously, you would have, you know, done a full investigation. And so that's how the Ramban understands Tosa and Balamar, and that's how for the Rav and the Rishimo is quoted as explaining Tosos as well. That sets up the Ramban's easy kasha, which is, if this is straight common sense, then why do I need a pasuk to tell me davar v'lochatzi davar? Right? If you know, we know that suspicious, unreliable testimony is unacceptable, that's pretty obvious, so I don't need a pasuk. It asks the Ramban if all that this answer is telling me is chashash. So, any potential responses? It's hard to say it's an asmachta because the Gemara asks, "What do the Rabbanan do with davar v'lochatzi davar?" Right? Al pishayim edim yakum davar. The Gemara asks, "Well, you know, if the Rabbanan reject the Rekiva, what do they do with davar?" So it's hard to say that it's just a pure asmachta. And if it was an asmachta, then we'd be pottering this. You know, any nafkaminas of not having the woman be a gedola would be only the Rabbanan, and that would be pretty difficult too. So do you think, if it's just common sense, why isn't it a pasuk?
Sometimes it could be common sense, but other times it's not common sense. So for those times,
okay, good. Maybe to create a low plug, like to create a universal principle. You know, well, we could, if we had tried really hard, we could have discovered everything that was there to know. Okay, excellent, great. That's. Or the question is just, right, you know, we know that the Edom have to be reliable, but it's a question of how reliable do they have to be, and, right, this pasuk is kind of setting the bar for reliability, right? They have to be reliable to the extent, right, that this is considered a problematic shashak. That would be the other answer, but these actually like yours more. Makes sense to me. Okay, fine. So either that answer in Tosos is shashak, or however you explain it, like the Ramban thought, or we say that no, what they mean is that the edus is defined by potential. If you saw everything you could have seen, that's considered edus. Okay, what about the riff? Right, the riff has a lamdish position here. It's always exciting when Tosis called the riff. So, Adam, you got it. What was
the
riff saying?
The Rabban Pasperus Rishum Zahatam Mahani Zahat Taihu the Ian Peril Shahab Shanam Shanash Chayav Shalim Imlo Misayoter Indim. Right, so what they're really being testimony, giving testimony on in the case of the field, is that he would be hired to eat, working testimony, he ate these fruits, he would be hired to reverse someone for these fruits, unless other Aiden come and say that, no, he's been here for more years.
So, yeah, so how is Chazaka different from Shtei Cyrus?
It's a question of what they're testifying on.
What do you mean?
I mean, they're testifying on the, I guess, I don't know.
Like, what's the distinction that the riff is positing? What's the significant distinction, conceptually, between the two cases?
I mean, there is something that's the interest being chal on, even if there isn't some other thing.
Yeah, right. Chatzi davar means edus with no legal impact.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Davar shalem means edus with legal impact.
Well, there is... Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Right? So what's the legal impact of the edus on 1 year's chazaka?
Or the other two things. Either it's going to be the payrot, or either he has to pay for the payrot, or it's actually his field. One way or the other.
Well...
He won't necessarily be...
If only have... All, two edum come in and they say, we saw... Right? The Marakama has a star saying that it was his field. Then Adam come in and we say, we saw Shimon eating in that field for the duration of 2014.
Okay.
So what's the fallout of that testimony, if that's all we ever had?
You established it as his field.
You have nothing. What?
It's definitely something.
Oh, wait.
If he only saw 2014.
And they saw Shimon eating, the Shimon living on the field for 2014.
And just 2014.
Just 2014.
So they would make him pay for
exactly
abuse.
Right. We're going to convict the mach. We're going to force the machzik to pay for gzela.
Not necessarily. Unless somebody really comes and says, "I've been there for 3 years." And says, "Oh, it's this field."
No, but if all I have, right?
Yeah,
in isolation, we're looking at this. Right, the riff says, "I look at this piece of testimony in isolation, and I see." Will Bezdin do anything based on this piece of information? If they will do something based on this piece of information, then it's no longer just a piece of information. Now it's testimony, right? We'll define edus as information from witnesses which will create an actionable consequence in Bezdin.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have to be the consequence that the edim maybe intended to generate?
No,
right? Because you know the first set of Edom knows that you know Levi and Yehuda and Yisachar and Zvulun are coming down the pike to give testimony on years 2 and 3. So the intent of their testimony is to give the Cheska Shalashanim to the Machzik. But if I would look in isolation, then the impact of the testimony would have been to convict the Machzik and make him pay.
The testimony isn't. The way that Tosos words the riff isn't that they're giving testimony so that he should pay. It's that they're giving testimony he was eating fruit of that year. Eating fruit from the field all that year. Therefore, there are other two different possibilities. Either he'll be hired to pay it, or if there's more eating, then reestablish
it. But the reason why it's considered a davar is because he will have to pay.
No, but either way it's going to have an impact. Because either way it could have an impact. Versus having no impact in one way or having an impact the other way. I mean, they're coming, that's fine, not that he should pay, but that he was on that field eating the fruit. Therefore, something.
So you're saying that the definition of davar is something which mimanav shach will be consequential.
Yeah.
Okay, even if... what's the difference between, like...
Meaning, to me, it's just what he's coming to testify on. In terms of how you define what chasha testimony is. Like, does it have to have in itself mean?
According to you, at the end of the day,
I think it's more clear than Rashba, who draws the comparison between giving testimony to be mitaser a girl to everyone else in the world, giving testimony to a girl to be mechayev someone something.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so this is taking more opinion of that. It's, it doesn't really matter if to be mechayev someone something. It just has to have some type of impact.
But, okay, but at the end of the day, are you defining edus any differently for the riff than I am?
Yeah. Possibly. I think so. Because
I'm saying for the... I'll put my definition out there. For the riff, for the Rabbanan, right, Rabbi Kiva disagrees, but for the Rabbanan, the definition of davar is edus which will create consequences in Bezdin.
But
that
would be
actionable testimony.
Shachai v'shalim, which is comparable to Rosh. Rush Brothers reading
Chayiv
or something else versus...
That's actionable testimony. He's going to be Chayiv, he's going to be convicted, he's going to have to pay for the fruits.
But Rush Brothers uses that to reject Rashi. So I say...
Rashi's like the... We'll get to Rashi. Rashi's kind of the exact opposite of the riff.
I would suggest maybe not.
Okay. So that means we have to get to Rashi. Which isn't a bad thing to do. Just parenthetic, I don't know if you saw Tosfos in Bava Basra, but this is a cool situation where in our Tosfos, right, so the Re comes in favor of the first answer and asks Akasha on the riff. Tosfos in Bava Basra quotes the Rashba, right? The Rashba quoted by Tosfos is not the Rashba from Spain. It's the Rash Mishans, right? Who's the third of the big three in Tosos, right? Arena Tan, the Re and the Rash Mishans. Big student of the Re. And the Rash likes the second answer, right? So there's a machlokes between the Re and the Rash Mishans. Just cool to know which of these two answers they prefer. They prefer the answer that the definition of Davar is maximized potential or is the definition of Davar consequential information. Okay, what about Rashi? So Rashi... is very concise, right? So let's tease out the upshot of what he's saying. So it's the Rashi of Akati Katanahi. Right, you're going to read it? Akati Katanahi?
Yeah, one second.
No problemo.
So, because they're both saying she's a katana, then it's not mitzarev, but everyone had, like, because they were both, the intent of their testimony, what resulted from their testimony, like what they were saying, was, how do I say this in English? Like, it's separate, as opposed to, the case with the field, everyone was saying the same thing with their testimony. They were all testifying towards a larger thing, which is you can't have the 80 people starve when what the 80 are saying is something like if you say she's a katana, she's a katana, it doesn't make sense that you would add a katana equals gadola.
Right. So let's sharpen this. So then you said it as katana plus katana doesn't equal gedola.
Because that's what they're saying with their...
Okay, but they're saying, but hair plus hair equals gedola.
Yeah, but the result of what they're seeing with the hair is that they both said, it's important for Rashi that they both said she's a katana, I think. They each testified that she's a katana. And so that's because, they actually saw on hair, mm-hmm. What they said with it is that she's a katana. So once you say that, you can't be with Sarif. They're Edu, which said, like, she's a katana to make her a gadola.
And what about by Chazaka? Isn't one set saying he's a thief and one set saying he's a thief?
But everyone was saying that he was, like, using the field as the blocks to him, like, that he was Muxak.
Like, because Muxak plus Muxak equals actual Chazaka.
Right. So, the issue is going to be, is the... You know, all the riff wanted, right, was consequential testimony. And the consequence can be the exact opposite of your intent, but that doesn't matter. But for Rashi, right, the intent is the whole ballgame, right? If the intent of your Eidos is to make her, is, you know, to get to Gedola, and the content of your Eidos is she's a katana, right, we have no idea if this woman is a gadola or a katana. Adam come in and say she has one hair. Okay, so she's a katana. Right, so I can't take Adas, which tells me X, and then combine it with something else to say the opposite of X. Right, as opposed to Shnei Chazaka, which we're saying you can have, right, this is part of the Chazaka, and this is part of the Chazaka as well. So the definition of what we'll call Davar is a piece of how we define davar, as opposed to chatzi davar. It's easier to define chatzi davar than davar. Right.
Or the
yeah. Chatzi Davar, we'll just say, is testimony which the impact, testimony where the impact of it is the opposite of your intent, unless I can combine it with something else. Right?
What?
The impact of your testimony mm-hmm. is the, for Chatzi Davar, mm-hmm. the impact of your testimony is the opposite of your intent.
No.
You're coming. No?
How is that the case with. Can you.
We're coming to say one Edom plus one Edom gets her to Gedola. But our actual testimony is that she's a Katana.
But it doesn't go through. Fine.
Right, that's Chatzi Davar. Right, that what's the unacceptable case?
Yeah.
Is where their intent, or the intent of the combined, the tochen of the combined testimony is the opposite of the tochen of the individual testimony.
Versus Rashi or the Rabbanan.
This is Rashi for the Rabbanan. This is Rashi, right, very concisely explaining to you how the Rabbanan distinguish between Chazaka case and Seir case.
The thing that has the opposite outcome, and then Rashi considers out the definition, just sounds a little just a little. Yes, in this specific case, like each of the testimonies may have a different outcome. Is that the general rule for them? They have to have the opposite outcome?
They have to have the opposite outcome? What do you mean the opposite outcome?
No, Chatzi Davar is that, it's the opposite outcome of what would have been otherwise. It has to be the opposite outcome of if we put them together, or just that has to not be an outcome?
And it has to be the opposite outcome. Well,
is that that's why it's Chatzi Davar? Because it has the opposite outcome?
I can only combine statements by Edim if those statements are pushing me towards the same place,
mm-hmm.
right? I look at Edus on 1 year as building towards a Chazaka. And so that can go together with something else. This is trying to get this guy to Chazaka. It doesn't get him there, but that's the direction it's moving in. And if two Edus are moving in the same direction in terms of their intent, then I can combine them. But if I have two eduyos, which are, each one says she's a katana, right? They're not working together. Each one is saying she's a katana, and then I combine the two, and then it makes her a gadola. That's not going to work. Right?
That's the case of the marriage. Meaning this could reflect three different ways that of reading that case.
Which case?
Meaning the case of, what they test, what are the, mean, what someone is to say that they, One side had Erison, or they had Nisuin, and another side had Edom come in, and they say that there was Bia with someone else. So it reflects in two different ways of reading that case. If you want to say that, we're dealing with the case of Bias and Nos,
mm-hmm.
then they're not working towards the same goal.
First of all, remember Rabbi Akiva based in that case also. They're totally unrelated to each other. They're not working to the same goal, they're not working to the opposite goal. It's two separate planets. She's married, there's planet she's an adulteress.
Yeah,
those are two separate
worlds.
That
according to the Rabbana, with Rashi, how do you read that according to the Rabbana?
Well, I have three cases, okay, with three different results. The case of Kiddushin and Znus, those are Eduyos on two separate planets, right? And there, even Rabbi Akiva agrees that it works, because once we have planet marriage established, right, then planet Znus can just use that information.
Sorry.
Rabbi Akiva says that works.
The first step, yeah.
Then I have the case of Cheska Shalashanim. I have two set of Edom on year one, I have two set of Edom on year two, and two sets of Edom on... I have two Edom on year one, two Edom on year two, two Edom on year three. They're all pushing to get to Cheska Shalashanim. I can push them, I can combine them all, because, right, it's only a Chatzi Davar if they are not, you know, it's like Lego, right? If the three go together, they can go together. They're pushing to the same direction. Case three is the case of the hares, where Seir Achas doesn't tell me anything. Seir Achas is not building towards being a Gedola. Seir Achas is complete. It's for all intents and purposes, no Seir, right? We assume any girl, no matter how old, I guess any boy, how old either, doesn't matter, you can, there can always be some random hair that grows, right? And Gwen assumes that it falls out. I don't know. It's not like a pubic hair. It's like a mole hair or something, right? That's not not indicative of any you know, biological changes going on. So for all intents and purposes, they are saying, she's a katana. I can't take katana plus katana and make gedola. I take 1 year plus 1 year, and I make 2 years. That I can do. That's Rashi, and is elaborated by the Ramban. Now, Rav Chaim really gets into this, but it makes a lot more. We're not doing Cheskas Habatim right now, but the argument that the Ramban and Rashi are making makes a lot more sense with certain perspectives of Cheskas Shalashanim than with other perspectives of Shalashanim. For example, right, one extreme way to understand Cheskas Shalashanim is 1 day on the field gives me a chazaka, and then I just need the next 3 years to defeat the claim of, well, if it's your field, why didn't you hold on to your shtar, right? But one living on the field makes me machzik, and then I just need more time to defeat the claim of where's your shtar, as opposed to saying, you know, you have no chazaka at all until 3 years on the field, right? Those are kind of the two extremes in understanding Cheska Shaloshanim. I have no chazak at all until after 3 years, or I have an instant chazak, just like I have a chazak on a wallet, but I need to defeat the claim of where's your shtar. So Rav Chaim says that Rashi and Ramban are much easier to understand if I have a chazak in 1 day, because then in reality each set of Edom is testifying that he's the machzik, right? Because, you know, they are agreeing he is the machzik. Now I need them all to come together to say, well, where is your star? My star is not here, because after 3 years I assumed you were never going to come. But then, if that was the case, all the Edom would be testifying that this guy is the actual machzik, as opposed to if I said there's no chazak at all until after 3 years, in which case it would sound awfully uncomfortably similar to the hair case. You'd say one set of Edom is testifying he's a thief for a year, and one set of Edom is testifying he's a thief for a year, and one set of Edom testifies he's a thief for a year. I can't put together a thief, thief, thief and make that legal owner, right? But if I say machzik, 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 then it's going to work. You don't have to go quite as bold as that extreme as saying 1 day makes you a machzik. You could also say that a chazaka is something which is, you know, it's not 100% there on day one. It's not 0% there until year three. It's something which gradually develops, right? We talked about in Geneva, right? Like the contest over the stolen object, and every step the ganav is, you know, taking over more and more. Chazaka could be something kind of roughly analogous, right? Where over 3 years, the chazaka is steadily growing, right? The marakama is steadily losing, the masik is steadily winning. Until 3 years, that's like the inflection point. Right, where the machzik has completed his conquest of the field, as it were. Right, so if he took that middle position, then again, Rashi and Ramban make a lot of sense because he's building his chazaka, and they are testifying to a growing, thriving chazaka. Okay, so that's basically the positions of Tosfos, that the problem is incomplete testimony, whether that's a chashash sheker or whether that's just how we define edus. The Rif's definition that testimony has to be information with actionable consequences in Beis Din, and Rashi and the Ramban, who are saying that we care about the intent of your testimony, it has to be able to combine. Okay, so those are basically the theories out there. The last one, which is the most radical shita in the whole sedia, is the position of the Rima Gash. Do you guys see the Rima Gash?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think?
Yeah.
Like when we read it at the time, we read the Rimi Gash as well as like first just sort of being in line with Tosfos. That's just how we read it. We could have been wrong about that.
Okay.
And just explaining something additional about like the one versus two aspect. But like we didn't get him really putting forth a new shita regarding the difference at the time, which apparently there
is. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that maybe I told you to not see enough of it. Maybe you should have seen the full piece.
You might have missed it.
That's also possible.
Yeah.
But basically, the Rimagash says that there is... Right, we're trying to figure out how come sometimes the Rabbanan are okay with Chatzi Davar and sometimes they're not. Right, that's the distinction we've been grappling with. The Rimagash says it's very simple. The Rabbanan reject the limud of Davar L'Chatzi Davar. They say Chatzi Davar is great. You can combine any and all... If I have information from one set of Edom and I have information from another set of Edom... We're good to go. Brings us back to our original common sense oriented position, which was I would think that it can go together. The Rebbe Gash says it can. The Rabbanan disagree with Rebbe Akiva. They disagree with the Limud, and they say that you can combine information. You can combine information to get Edus. So what does he do?
He still does maintain. He doesn't say that they do away with it. He just redefines it.
So it's tricky because in the Rimagash is a how are we explaining right now the case of the Shtei Sairos?
According to him.
According to us, until pre Rimagash, what's going on in Shtei Sairos case?
There's two Adim who see one on her back, two Adim who see one on her front.
Right, and then those two can't combine to get me two hairs.
Yes.
Let's say one set of Edom did its due diligence and they did a 360 sivuv and they saw the hair on the front and they saw the hair on the back. Then what would be the case?
That would work,
right? Presumably, had in Tosas that was like super explicit, had the Edom seen both hairs, then it would be fine. But I can't combine one testimony and one testimony to get to two hairs. The Rimagash says, no, the way to explain the Gemara is that you... One set of Edom testifying to a hair on the back and one set of Edom testifying to a hair on the front doesn't work. One set of Edom, right?
As in like one person.
No, as in Reuven and Shimon holding hands, see everything, and then come to Bezim. We saw one hair on the front, one hair on the back. That doesn't work. Shtei Sairos has to be in two different places. So if it's something which...
It can't be.
It can't be in two different places. Thank you. So then, davar velo chatzi davar. It's hard to. It's like so counterintuitive, because it's like how does he read the Gemara? It's a huge problem how he actually reads our Gemara. But what he thinks, the upshot of what he's saying, is that chatzi davar is great. If information was uncombinable from one set of witnesses. Then it will also be uncombinable from two sets of witnesses, which is obvious. But in general, the Rabbanan will accept anything which would have been good coming from one set of Edom will be good coming from two sets of Edom, is the position of the Rimagash. I give him Meiri, because Meiri had a nice line in here. So he quotes, right, first he quoted the Rambam, and then he quoted Gedolei Rabboseihem, right, so that's the Rimagash, who's the Gedolei Rabboseihem of the Rambam. What was the line here which I like? So he asks, he's like, I don't understand the Rimagash because what's going on with, like, what does he do with our Gemara? Right, and in fact, it goes back to our original question, which was, if this is all common sense, what's up with the Pasuk? Right, so he says, you know, Vadvaram nain li linyan psak, aval linyan perish kashali, Right, why don't you need a pasuk telling me that that two Edom can't combine testimonies in a case where one set of Edom's testimony is not going to work? Right, the Gemara had asked what did Rabbanan do with davar v'lachatzi davar? So it can't be they're telling me something which is so obvious, right? It can't be they're telling me that if one set of Edom saw hair in the front and one set of Edom saw hair in the back, just like if two Edom saw those, it doesn't work. So two sets of Edom, it doesn't work. That's obvious. And so he ends up coming on to, just to explain how the Rimagash does the Gemara, which I thought was cool, was... Sorry, one second. Mm-hmm.
Did I, like, imagine seeing this? Okay, yeah, here it is. If you see in the source quotes, it starts with Veshema Iker. It's like a little bit more than halfway down in the Meiri 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think like 8 lines up from the bottom, a little more than halfway down the line. Veshema Iker Masha Tzerchulil Mod, right? So he says, I don't understand what's going on with Rimagash. Like, what's the point of a pasuk telling me something which is so obvious? And so he suggests maybe what Rimagash meant, Veshema Iker Masha Tzerchulil Mod, who Shekol Misha Eidus Mitzarefes, right? Any case where testimony, even from one set of Eidim, can combine. Afal Pisha Ein Katzo Velo Katzu Osa Eidus Shalim Eidusan Eidus Ein Kpedan Katim Mikat Achas Omishtayim. So he says, I guess the way the Rimagash reads what they're going to do with Davar Lachatzi Davar is that the Torah needs to teach me that this works, right? Everyone assumes that, oh, right, there's some case of Chatzi Davar that doesn't work, that we learn from the Torah, and that's and then we just figure out what that is exactly. The Meiri says for the Rimagash, it's the exact opposite. We apply common sense. Common sense tells me I can combine testimonies. The Torah has to tell me, though, that there is a case where the Torah tells me that it works, right? The Torah tells me that it always works. Obviously it doesn't work if the testimony would be invalid coming from one set of Eidim alone, right? So, you know, Shteis Iros, where one in the front, one in the back, one set of Eidim, that's invalid. So obviously that's going to be problematic for two. Davar L'Chatzi Davar teaches me that that's the only case which is a problem, and that as long as the information would have been good coming from one set of Eidim, it will be good coming from the other set of Eidim, right? So all the other Rishonim are assuming that this is telling me some miut, which makes sense, because the Gemara did say, miut emai. For the Rimagash, it's a riboy, right? That you stick with your common sense, and maybe even expand it, that all cases of Chatzi Davar are combinable, assuming that the only problem is the division of witnesses, and not an actual problem with the testimony, like one hair, which can't combine for anybody. Okay, so that's those are the basic approaches in this idea. It's just important, A, because this really reinforces the fact that, you know, we have to look at Eidos, according to everybody except Rimagash, we have to look at Eidos as more than just information, right? There's some chalos that needs to be met here, right? And then the other Rishonim, non-Rimagash oid, are arguing as to how to define that. Okay, good, stop here. And we'll move on to Sunday next week. I think next week is Kamei B'Rabbi now.